Now, she was clearly a Jew hater, and anyone who defended her statements or backed her up on that is a Jew hater as well. So back in October 2010, soon after this happened, Stephen Sizer reprinted the Haaretz article about Helen Thomas, and he introduced that article on his website with the following introduction. He said, "Helen Thomas is one gutsy 90-year-old lady to take on the Israeli lobby. In Haaretz earlier this week, she gave her candid views on what led to her retirement." Right? Then he goes through the article, and she says all these things. At the end of the article, he closes that entry by saying, "Bring it on." Right? In other words, he's affirming her desire to see the Jews kicked out of Israel. He was ecstatic because she refused to back down regarding her belief that the land belongs to the Palestinians, that the Jews are the occupiers, and they should return to Europe. He's agreeing with that. He's saying, "Bring it on. Keep on going. Go on, go on." You know, cheering her on. So just as Helen Thomas was a Jew hater who knew how to cover her words and choose the words wisely, but inside she's a Jew hater, and she's an ugly one to boot if you ever saw her picture. So that's the way Stephen Sizer is. And just as Helen Thomas was well known by everybody around her and who knew her for her hatred of Israel, so Stephen Sizer is well known worldwide for his hatred of the Jews. They're two peas in the same pod. They're clearly anti-Semitic, yet Steve Lumley claims he's not anti-Semitic, but he puts an article from this guy who's a well-known anti-Semitic Israel basher on his website. He claims he doesn't teach or support replacement theology, yet he puts an article on from the guy who's not only a well-known for his replacement theology of views, but teaches replacement theology in a very article Mr. Lumley posted on his website. I think Mr. Lumley would make an excellent politician because he practices the same kind of duplicity that politicians do. I'm not going to go through that article because I've already dealt with most of the arguments Sizer puts forth that argument and all the messages I've done in Israel. I've gone through the arguments because they're all the same arguments over and over again. They all use the same arguments. They use the same verses. They put the same spin on them. I have to use the same crooked logic. It's all the same program. But I just want to highlight this man's duplicity because his article was about another article. This one put out by the Church of Scotland. It was an official document from the Church of Scotland where they put out a document that agrees with his views. And he's mad because they retracted it under pressure. They're going to make some minor changes, and he's mad that they even pulled it to begin with. This is what he says in his article. This is the article that Mr. Lumley is linking to and encouraging people to read. He says, "The Church of Scotland is to be commended for their report called The Inheritance of Abraham, published a week or so ago, but swiftly removed under pressure. In no sense does the report disenfranchise anyone from legitimate rights to citizenship in Israel and Palestine. Merely the claim made by some Zionists that the Bible mandates an exclusive right to the land for the Jewish people alone. On the contrary, the Hebrew Scriptures repeatedly insist that the land belongs to God and that residence was always conditional and must be shared. For example, God said to his people, 'The land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers,' Leviticus." That's an old tired argument. It's used again and again, not only by him, not only by the Church of Scotland, but by every replacement theologian. And the answer to that is, yes, it was God's land, but God said he gave it to them for perpetual possession. And he also says he's going to bring them back into that land at the end of the days, regardless of their obedience. Clearly stating he's going to bring them back in disobedience. See, they just take the scripture and go through it and hack off what they don't like, emphasize what they like, and that's it. And they walk around like peacocks strutting their theological feathers. He says the Church of Scotland is to be commended for the report, so obviously he agrees with it, and he would because it gives many of the same articles he has laid out in his books and papers and all that. He says the report does not in any way disenfranchise anyone from legitimate rights to citizenship in Israel and Palestine. Now, the word disenfranchise is a verb. It's an action word. It means to make somebody, another person or another people, a group, to make them your servant. Put them in servitude, to put them under you. In other words, the report, in Mr. Sizer's view, promotes equality and justice for everyone in the land. Yet, as we've already seen, he wholeheartedly endorsed Helen Thomas's view that since the land rightly belongs to the Palestinians, and since European Jews came and stole that land and now occupy that land, it's the Jews who should go back to Europe where they belong. They should leave the land. So which is it, Mr. Sizer? Do you want the Palestinians to live equally and justly with the Israelis? Or do you want the Jews to leave the land and go back to Europe, where they belong, just as Helen Thomas said? Fact is, Mr. Sizer, like most of these pro-Palestinian religious and political leaders, they're savvy enough to know that they can't publicly express their true feelings, so they've learned the art of what's called doublespeak. They've learned how to cloak their Jew hatred and their Israel bashing in the righteous robes of justice and equality. Outwardly, they speak of justice for the Palestinians within the framework of a two-state solution, which will never work, it'll never happen. But inwardly, the kind of justice they really want to see is the Jews gone from Israel, or dead, whichever, doesn't matter. I also noticed when he's talking about the land, he didn't call it Israel, he called it Israel and Palestine. But there is no state of Palestine yet. That shows his true heart. Again, he's so convinced that there should be a state of Palestine, he acts and talks like there already is one. And that's the same mindset the average of Palestine have. But then what do you expect? He's a Palestinian apologist. He's made almost a career out of it. So in order to be an effective apologist for the Palestinians, you got to start thinking like them. You know, you got to become one of them. And that's what he did. He thinks and talks and acts just like a Palestinian. Well, what was this report by the Church of England and what did it say? Well, I'm not going to go through it myself, but I'll just give you a synopsis of it by another pro-Israel person who's very smart. His name is Dennis Prager. He can be found on the Town Hall website. This is what he said about it. He said, earlier this month, the Church of Scotland issued a report titled The Inheritance of Abraham, with a question mark, a report on the Promised Land. The essence of the report is that, according to the Bible, Jews have no more attachment to the land of Israel than anyone else. Hence, Promised Land is in quotation marks and the report's title because there is no Promised Land. In the report's words, quote, the New Testament contains a radical reinterpretation of the concepts of Israel, temple, Jerusalem, and land. When the Bible mentions Israel, it does not mean Israel. When it says temple, the Bible does not mean the Jewish temple. Jerusalem does not mean the city of Jerusalem, and land does not mean land. Promises about the land of Israel, the report continues, were, quote, never intended to be taken literally or as applying to a defined geographical territory. It doesn't say just now in the end times. It says never. Never intended. He goes on and says, even during the worst excesses of Christian anti-Semitism in the Middle Ages, it is doubtful that any normative Christian body declared that Israel, the temple, Jerusalem, and the land no longer meant or were ever intended to mean what those words represent. This claim is not only profoundly anti-Semitic, it is an act of theological forgery. It makes a mockery of the Bible as a coherent document and renders Christianity inherently anti-Semitic. It would be as if a major post-Christian religious body had announced that Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection had never meant what Christians in the New Testament had always understood them to mean. Imagine if a major Muslim body declared that Jesus means Muhammad, Christ means Quran, crucifixion means Islamophobia, and resurrection means the Hajj. The Hajj is the journey to the Mecca that every Muslim has to make once during their life. He says, I've never equated criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism, but the Church of Scotland report is not about criticism of Israel. It is about invalidating the Jewish people and invalidating the Jews' historically incontestable claims to the land upon which the only independent state that ever existed was Jewish. Then it gives the major points of this report laid out in a couple of paragraphs. The Church of Scotland report asserts that the Bible does not support the existence of a Jewish state. Quote, there has been widespread assumption by many Christians as well as many Jewish people that the Bible supports essentially Jewish state of Israel. This raises an increasing number of difficulties. It asserts that justice and the existence of the Jewish state are mutually exclusive. There is a direct conflict of interest between wanting human rights and justice for all and retaining the right to the land. In other words, they can't be their land and still be justice. It's unjust to be their land. It asserts that the Jews' return to Israel has no biblical basis. It asserts that the notion that the Jews have or ever had a special relationship with God, one of the most oft-repeated ideas in the Hebrew Bible, is negated in that very same Bible. Quote, that exclusivist tradition implied Jews had a special privileged position in relation to God, but the prophetic tradition stood against this. The chosen people are not chosen, in other words. It asserts that God's promise of the land to Abraham has nothing to do with the Jews. It is only about Jesus. The promise to Abraham about land is fulfilled through the impact of Jesus, not by the restoration of the land to the Jewish people. It asserts that even Jesus, that proud religious Jew, did not believe in any special relationship between God and the Jews. The quote is, Jesus offered no radical critique of Jewish specialness. In other words, they're saying Jesus never said the Jews are special. He goes on to say, at the same time, this truly immoral document does not devote a word to why there are Palestinian refugees. While the Jews accepted the 1947-1948 partition plan of Palestine, the Jewish and Arab states, all the neighboring Arab states rejected the partition and invaded the Jews in order to annihilate Israel at its birth. Nor does the report devote a single sentence to how Israel's occupation of the West Bank came about. In 1967, Israel's neighbors sought to exterminate Israel, just as Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, and most Palestinians and other Muslims in the Middle East today wish to do now. And that only because of that war, won by Israel, did Israel come to occupy the West Bank of Jordan. Nor is there a word devoted to Palestinian national honoring of their numerous terrorists, and the Church of Scotland did not think it important to even hint at what happened in Gaza after the Israelis gave the whole of Gaza to the Palestinians. The Palestinians converted it into a terror state that regularly launches rockets into Israel to kill as many Israelis as possible. And most vile of all, the Church of Scotland never once notes, let alone condemns, the Muslim countries and organizations that seek to annihilate Israel, an existential threat that no other country or people in the world faces. The Church of Scotland has given voice to the ugliest depiction of Jews since medieval times, and the official reaction of the Scottish Jewish community is that Christian-Jewish post-Holocaust dialogue or relationships seems to have been a moral and intellectual waste of time. I do not agree, but if other Christian churches do not condemn the Church of Scotland, despite its promise to revise its report to include a statement that Israel has a right to exist, even pro-Christian Jews will wonder whether the Scottish Jewish community reaction is valid. And how did this happen? The report is a combination of medieval Christian anti-Judaism and contemporary leftist anti-Zionism. For Jews in Israel, that's a lethal combination. So the report not only contains all the elements of classic replacement theology, it's really replacement theology on steroids. And Mr. Sizer agrees wholeheartedly with it. He thinks it's a well-balanced report, which promotes equality and justice, and that's a tragedy. The report has been pulled in order to make changes, even though they're going to be surface changes or adjustments. Nothing's going to change the actual meat of what they're doing or saying. As a matter of fact, he uses many of the arguments that are laid out in the report in his own teaching, including the one that Steve Lumley posted. So either Mr. Lumley is a very ignorant person, theologically speaking, or he's a bold-faced liar, or he's been seduced by demons, and they've blinded him to his obvious duplicity and hypocrisy, because he swears up and down he's not preaching replacement theology, yet he's promoting a man who does preach it. He's promoting an article which preaches it. He claims up and down he loves the Jews, and he's not anti-Israel, yet he's promoting a man and a man's message who is worldwide known for Israel bashing. That's duplicity, my friend. It's hypocrisy. And he's not the only one that's involved in it. There's a lot of people running around saying and doing things they say they're not saying and doing. Anyway, the second article that caught my eye was an article called Why I Abandoned Replacement Theology by a guy named Adam Marshalk. And that article isn't any better than Stephen Sizer's. In fact, it may be worse because of the theological framework that produced it. You see, it appears that Mr. Marshalk is a preterist. Some of you might not know what a preterist is. Well, preterism is a term that comes from Latin, praeter, which means past. So the preterist view of the Bible, Bible prophecy in particular, is that the prophecies were past. They're all fulfilled in 70 AD. Most Christians will be shocked to learn that preterists believe that the resurrection dead has already taken place, the day of judgment's already taken place, Christ's return has taken place. It's all 2,000 years ago. Something has to be wrong with you mentally to adopt that view, but there's still people that do it. And that being the case, any of you that suggest that natural Jews might return to a geographical land in the last days, just automatically rejected. There's no way that could ever fit into the preterist view. It's automatically rejected out of hand. Anyway, this guy joined a preterist social site like Facebook or something. But it's not Facebook, but it's a social site. It's for preterists. And he joined it, And he put his picture up there with his wife, and he wrote a little introduction. I want you to read the introduction says. He says, "Hi, my new wife," at that time was his new wife, "Jasmine, live in St. Paul, and we're involved in setting up a marketplace for refugees in North St. Paul. We are originally from Ohio. I have been a preterist since 2009, and my writings can be seen at such and such a place." And speaking of his worldview, he says, "I seek to hear the Lord's voice and to know what his will is concerning any given situation. At times, I will also seek the counsel of others. My aim is to be guided by the truth of God's word and to be led by the Spirit." He says his aim is to be guided by the truth of God's word and to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Is there anything wrong sounding wrong with that? That's wonderful. But unfortunately, he's about as far from his goal as you can probably get. Well, as of this writing today, you go to his website and the first 5 articles on that site are devoted to preterism. So he's pretty devoted. He's pretty into it. So the title of his article is very misleading unless you share his unique perspective of that, because what he's done is he's redefined the term replacement theology. He just redefined the term. His definition of replacement theology is the view that dispensationalists have of the Jews and of Israel, the prophetic view they have of the Jews of Israel. In other words, in traditional replacement theology, the church replaces Israel. In Mr. Marshall's new version, his new definition of replacement theology is that Israel replaces Jesus. The Israelites replace Jesus in all the prophetic scriptures. You wouldn't know he's a preterist just by reading that particular article, because he keeps his focus narrowed down to the Jews and the promises to the Jews and so forth. But his view regarding the past fulfillment of all prophecies regarding the Jews applies to all prophecy as well, in general. He believes all prophecy has been fulfilled. Again, I'm not going to go into this guy's article, because I've dealt with almost all the points he raises in my messages about Israel. Okay, like I said, replacement teachers use the same passages over and over again to prove their points. And once you've done a thorough refutation of one of their teachings, you can basically cut and paste that response and just fill in the name and send it to them. You know, it's all the same thing. They all use the same talking points. They use the same out-of-context passages. They use the same twisted logic. So I've already dealt with all the points in those things. But the thing I wanted to highlight here about this guy is the fact that he devoted a whole article to the pro-Palestinian Israel bashing documentary with God on Our Side. I don't know if you remember that documentary. I was working on it for a while myself. It came out a couple years ago. And it was a one-sided propaganda piece saying how evil Israel was and how wonderful the Palestinians was, and the Palestinians, it's their land, and blah, blah, blah. And in my message, The Vicious Vicar, I played a recording of Michael Brown, who critiqued that film when it first came out. He gave a little interview, and in that interview, he critiqued the movie. So I also played that. But this guy, back then, he devoted a whole page to that movie. And Steven Sizer was not only an integral part of producing that movie, it's a propaganda film, he gave interviews in that movie. And after it was done, he traveled the world, Europe and the United States, basically, for 2 years or 3 years, giving private, what they called private showings. He'd go into a church, and only those people who were invited could go. They'd show the movie, and they'd all sit around and talk about how evil Israel was for an hour, and drink coffee and have cupcakes. And if there happened to be any pro-Israel Christians on there, they spent that hour crucifying that poor person if they spoke up. That was his private showings. And this guy, Marshall, who's a preterist, believes it's wonderful, and he's using all the same points, the same arguments, everything else, and Lumbly posted on his page. Now, if Lumbly's not an anti-Semite, he's a fool or a liar or deceived, because he's promoting anti-Semites. He's promoting replacement teachers. And he can say he's not all he wants. And the fools who believe him can believe him all they want, but that doesn't change the facts. This is what this guy Marshall said about that movie. He highly recommends it for anyone who has any interest at all in the present Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and especially for those who have theological convictions regarding the modern-day Israel and or the Jewish people. With God on Our Side, that movie, that documentary, was one of the most distorted propaganda pieces I've ever seen. And it was filled, literally filled, with half-truths, lies, and outright fabrications. They just made up stuff. And it made me so mad when I saw it, I started making a video myself of the movie and exposing it as we're going along, every lie that it propagated. But there are so many lies in that thing. After 3 weeks, almost a month of working on that little video project, I only had 15 minutes of the movie finished. That's how many lies it was. That's how much time it takes to unpack those lies and prove that they're wrong and show the truth. And I realized it's going to take 6 or 8 months for me to finish that project, so I finally gave it up. But I still got about 15 or 20 minutes of it done, and I think I'll put it up this week. just so you can see, just in the first 15 or so minutes, how many lies were in that film. The hallmark of the last days is religious deception. That's why Paul said in Timothy 4:1-2, it's one of our most often quoted passages. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, the last days, our day, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, this deception, the end time deception, is a very dangerous kind of religious deception. It's not a political deception. Jesus talked about religious deception within the church, among the brethren. And it's more than just a doctrinal deception. It's more than just a mental deception. It's a moral deception. It blinds people to their own moral state. And it puts them in an unreal world where they look in the mirror and see one thing, but their actions are a totally different person. It's a self-deluding deception. It's a kind of stuff that turns you into a liar and a hypocrite and eventually sears your conscience without you even realizing what's going on. And that kind of deception causes you to depart from the faith. This kind of deception causes Christians to depart from the faith. That can only mean one thing. That means this horrible, evil, moral transformation that goes on, that where you turn into a liar and a hypocrite and eventually have your conscience seared and you depart from the faith, that has to take place while you're in the faith. Paul didn't say these people are going to depart from the faith first, and then, as a result of departing from the faith, they're going to have their become a hypocrite, become a liar, have their conscience seared, blah, blah, blah. No. He said it's going to happen while they're Christians. They become hypocritical while they're Christians. They become liars while they're Christians. While they're Christians, their conscience gets seared, and then they depart from the faith, and they don't know it. They're going to be deceived while they're Christians. They're going to be transformed while they're Christians into hypocrites and liars, and they're going to leave the faith while they're Christians. Now, how many of those who fall away in the last days do you think realize they're falling away? Do you think they know when their conscience begins to get seared or is finished being seared? No. They don't have any idea what's going on. It's a gradual process, like the frog slowly boiling in the water. They never find out. Just go to sleep. Boom. Wake up on judgment day and go to hell. They keep on going just the way they always do while this process is happening. They'll keep going to church. They'll keep listening to Christian music. They'll keep doing religious works. They'll keep doing church work. They'll keep reading their Bibles. They'll keep teaching the Bible. They'll keep praying. They'll be just as religious as the day they got saved. Nothing's going to change in their view except they've left the faith. They've been transformed into lying hypocrites. Their conscience has been seared, and that has taken them out of the faith. And that reality should put the fear of God in us, because it can happen to anybody, people. Anybody. Nobody's above being deceived. Only the people who are constantly checking their motives, constantly checking their desires, constantly asking God, show me, God. Show me. Open my eyes so I can see what's in my heart. Like David said, search me, O God, and show me if there be any wicked way in me. That's the only people who aren't going to get deceived. People who love the truth, who want to know the truth. Scripture is very clear. Christians read this, and somehow they don't get it at all. They just don't get it. It goes over their heads. They're too full of so many errors, they can't. It does not compute. Does not compute. And when you try and force it into their brain goes, snap, snap. They freak. They go into orbit. They can't take it. Because they don't want to believe that you as a Christian can become deranged and hard, have your conscience seared, become a hypocrite and a liar. And that's what Steve Lumley is. And that's what all these people are who do the same kind of thing he does. Run around and say they don't teach this when they do. They don't teach this when they promote it. They don't believe it when they do. That's lying hypocrites. The Bible's very clear how God feels about liars, what's going to happen to liars, okay? Let's read them. Revelation 21:7-8. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." Now, did he say all non-Christian liars? No, all liars. Anybody who practices lies as part of their character, as part of their function in life. You go through life practicing lies. I don't care if you believe in Jesus or not. I don't care if you carry a rosary around 10 days or not. You're going to go to hell in the end. All liars shall have their part in like a fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's a second death. Revelation 21:25-27 says, "And the gates of it," talking about the city, after the millennium, the new heaven and new earth, "and the gates of it," the new Jerusalem, "shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 22, 14 to 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Not blessed are they who believe in Jesus. Not blessed are they who have experience. They've been justified. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. For without, outside that city, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, how many Steve Lumps do you think are out there in the Christian world? How many Christians are there out there who talk out of both sides of their mouth, who are hypocrites? If you're a hypocrite, you're a liar. And you don't have to actually tell a big, bold lie to be a liar. If you put on an act that you're something you're not, if you act holy, if you act righteous, if you act loving when inside you're full of ignorance, bitterness, anger, and all these kinds of things, you're a liar. Your life is a lie. You're lying to yourself. You're going to go to hell. You can believe in Jesus till your tongue drops out. I don't care what you believe. You can get all the correct doctrine you want. If you're practicing a lie, either a living lie or a speaking lie, you're going to go to hell. Unless you're trying to undo that. Unless you're in an active relationship with God where you're saying, show me this thing. Then God works with you. Whosoever maketh and loveth a lie. And these people love lies. They love lies. They love the moral lie about themselves. Politically, they love the lie that the Palestinian, that was their land, and they reject the Bible. You have to reject the Bible and everything it says about the Jews to be pro-Palestinian. So how many people do you think are running around like that? There's hundreds of thousands of them. They swear up and down they don't believe this, they don't teach that, they turn around, they do. Or they support people who do. It's a lie. It's duplicity. It's hypocrisy. And they're liars in God's sight. And they don't believe that anything's going to happen. They're not going to believe God's word, what it says about liars. They're not going to believe it until the day they stand before him and they face his wrath. That's the only time they're going to believe it. They will not believe his word. All right? So, putting a disclaimer on our websites and then promoting lies and false doctrines is not going to save Mr. Lumbly or anybody else that's doing that kind of thing. And for us, putting a disclaimer on ourselves, you can do that in your own life. You can claim, you put a disclaimer on yourself and act like you're not really doing something you are. It's not going to help. God sees right down to the bone. He sees right down to the lowest desires and what we all want to do and reasons we do it and the motives we do it and everything else. He sees it all. And he's willing to cleanse it and deliver it if we're willing to face it and turn away from it. But if not, it's going to be a sad day when people stand before the Lord. If you continue to practice duplicity and hypocrisy, whether it's in the theological realms or the moral realm or what you're doing or how you're living, you're going to end up lost. You're going to end up cut off from God. He's not going to put up with that. And grace ain't going to do away with that because grace is not a legal state and where you can, what you do, God's going to save you in the end. Grace is a grace period. It's a period of time. God gives us grace. He puts us under his grace for a time to see if we will try and serve him. You don't have to be perfect to go to heaven, but you got to be trying to serve God. You have to want to know the truth. And God knows the difference between a person who's trying, and it's maybe it's failing, or it's trying and not really doesn't know what's going on, but they're trying, and the person who's just back and says, oh, I'm under grace. I'm okay. You know, I can lie and deceive and because I'm under grace. God knows the difference between the heart attitude and the motives and the reasons people do stuff. He knows why we're doing things. And if you're one of those people who say, oh, I got grace, man, that's it, that's it. The Bible says I'm saved and I'm grace, that's it. Yeah, if I do wrong, so what? That attitude's going to get millions of people thrown to hell. Millions. So you don't have to be perfect to go to heaven, but you got to be trying. You got to be truly seeking the Lord and allowing him to change you to some degree, at least. So put a disclaimer on a website, in a book, on what we do, on what we say, ain't going to change nothing, ain't going to hide, ain't going to fool God. So it's best we live and walk in the raw, ugly, bloody truth. We must have a love for truth and seek truth at all costs, no matter how much pain, no matter how much suffering, no matter how uncomfortable, how embarrassing it is, or else we're going to turn into a practicing liar and hypocrite and end up in hell. Especially in these days, when the power of Satan has been unleashed, all right? That was what I had for tonight. I just wanted to let you know that our friend Mr. Lumbly is still pulling the same kind of tricks. He hasn't changed a bit. Anybody else have anything you want to say or share or add to that? Johnny says, blessed that the Lord put a love in his heart for Israel. That's right. That's good. I question salvation if anybody hates Israel. I mean, they don't have to be involved, really politically involved or anything, but if you really have a hatred for Israel, you love the Palestinians and you just think everything's Israel's fault and Israel's wrong. The establishment of Israel means nothing. I think you're another spirit. I don't even think you're a Christian. If you get that kind of attitude towards Israel, you're not saved. Anybody have anything to share before we close her down tonight? Alrighty. Then we'll see y'all next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.